The Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome aboard for a Wednesday edition of the Dennis Stuckey Show. Tomorrow night, we've got more high school hockey for you on the stream as Port Huron Northern will be taking on Brother Rice. Little fact that you might not know, current NHL players Dale Raminski of Tampa Bay and Greg Patarin of Montreal are former Brother Rice alumni. And now you know why they won a championship in 2015 and several before that. Mike Emmerich joins us on the line now. He's getting ready for, you're in Brooklyn tonight, Doc?
Yeah, and I'm watching some Brooklyn high school hockey as I talk to you. I always like to chat with you when I'm in a rink. And it's Brooklyn high school action here, and I wish I could tell you the teams. One's in purple, looking like the old Kings, and the other looks like the Maple Leafs. But it's high school action this afternoon before we have an 8 o'clock start between the Islanders and Pittsburgh.
Good stuff. Unfortunately, I can't bring you on today and not ask you about the late, great Bob Chase, because I know that he was a very important person in your life, and we lost him over the Thanksgiving holiday at the young age of 90. At least it seemed like it for Bob.
Yes, it did, didn't it? Always, he was a wonderful person to me at a time when I guess I was a college guy that was looking to learn anything about the broadcasting business, and he was my icon, so I wanted to be like Bob Chase someday. And he was willing to give me some time to kind of help me do that. And you never forget someone like that. I know there were a lot of ECHL current announcers that sent messages to the Comets yesterday. There was, as is the case with a lot of people that are celebrities, there was a viewing of Bob yesterday at the Coliseum. The broadcast area where he worked all those years was dark except for a single orange light inside the Bob Chase booth. His family, of course, was there, and the fans were able to pay their last respects to him. There was a private funeral service today. But he was wonderful to me. He was great to a lot of people that knew him over the years, and when you consider 63 years and 50,000 watts, he probably talked to more people about hockey than any U.S.-born broadcaster that lived.
For me, it was bittersweet because we lost to the Comets in a triple overtime Game 7 in Fort Wayne. Bob went down to the ice, though, to celebrate with the team. And I'll never forget this, Doc. He picked up the cup to raise it up over his head, and the top part of the trophy broke off. And the cup came down, bounced off the top of Bob's head, but he grabbed the end of it again and just carried on like nothing had happened.
Well, he was probably one of he was 6'4" and plenty strong even in his later 80s, and I'm sure that he could have handled that. It probably would have sent me to a gurney.
Me too. Hey, the NHL is an interesting thing these days. I'm looking at the standings, and there's maybe three outstanding teams. There are no bad teams. The worst team, the Islanders, are only three games under 500. And you can just throw a blanket over about 27 of these teams and not know who's going to finish where when it all ends.
Yes, the purists will say, gee, it's phony math, and we only have, but there was a time 30 years ago when there was really one elite team, and that was the Edmonton Oilers, and everybody else were sort of also ran. So here we have virtually everybody in the running, and sometimes that will be, you know, we might eliminate two or three before we get any farther, but the Islanders have a whole bunch of home games coming up, and they were a very strong home team last year, and they've been okay at home this year. They're terrible away from home. They've only got one road victory. Carolina has just rebounded and put together a streak. The Kings have awakened now, and they've won five games in a row. And so those teams that looked like they were going to be major disappointments, in a season of 82 games, we've only hit the quarter pole. And I would not be at all surprised that when you're talking more about the Tigers coming north from Lakeland in spring training, that we will still have, out of 30 teams, we will have probably 25 that will either be in playoff positions and have them solidified or still be in the running.
was really surprised and really disappointed to hear Gerard Gallant lost his job in Florida. Was that a big shock around the rest of the league?
I think so. I think it was mystifying because they had won the previous game. They lost a game to Carolina by only a single goal. But there has been some turmoil in the front office there. They were shifting over to become an analytics organization, much like Anaheim has become. And I think there were really some, Phoenix, or the Arizona Coyotes have become. Florida has sort of taken that lead too. And when you find that you have old school guys like Dale Talon and like Gerard Gallant in an organization that is changing its way of doing things, then maybe it doesn't become a surprise. But the record wasn't that bad. And so that's, I guess, the thing out of all of it that was really mystifying. And there have been, you know, some unusual things that the Panthers have been doing that have, you know, that by and large have made us wonder. But this, I guess, goes into the category of one of those.
You know, I wasn't paying much attention to Ottawa at the start of the year. I didn't look at them as a threat. Why are they playing so well?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think they're getting their goaltending together much better. And perhaps just, you know, Guy Boucher just needed some time. Oftentimes when a coach takes over, normally we notice this in the middle of the year, Dennis, more so than we do at the start of a season. But oftentimes when a coach takes over, it doesn't go too well for the first couple of weeks. And then all of a sudden things start to fit together much better. And I think that was probably the case with Ottawa. And, you know, Carlson's role has changed somewhat. He's much better defensively, and he's still that heavily offensive guy that he's always been. But the Senators are another one of those teams that put together a spurt. And when you have virtually everybody, as you pointed out, being right around NHL 500, which is roughly the same number of wins as losses, and then the X factor are those extra three-point games that are thrown in that third column. When you have virtually everybody that's at NHL 500 or a little below or a little above, you're going to have a competitive race right through the end. So everybody seems to be alive and continues to be that way until we get down to the home stretch. And even more so, it seems like then, until a few teams maybe through attrition and through injuries have eliminated themselves. But, you know, if you just pick out the elite teams, it seems to me that we have Montreal, unless they hit a fade like they did, you know, very early last year when Carey Price got hurt. So you have Montreal. I think Tampa Bay is another Final Four team, despite the fact that they haven't shown it yet. And then you have the three in the Metropolitan Division. And then you have Chicago. And it's kind of a logjam of teams out west. It strikes me that there's no wonderfully dominant team, but I think Chicago is the main team in the Western Conference. So now you're looking at a half dozen, by my estimation, of elite teams. And then you have the 20 that Ken Holland described back in August as the teams that Detroit is one of that are going to be in the hunt until very late. And then you just see how they all fall out of the box as to whether they make the playoffs. And then three or four that are at the bottom and may very well stay there.
Well, you know, the Wings have been a little better recently, but when you look at the box score, Dylan Larkin, Anthony Mantha had goals last night. Doc, I've been screaming, pulling my hair out to let these kids go. Turn them loose. Let them play.
Yes, and it's, you know, the thing is, too, that when you have the kind of performances that Larkin had in his initial year and that you saw from Nyquist and Tatar and, for that matter, from Yurko, too, and then in the case of those latter guys, last year was not. You wonder, okay, which year was the right year? And I agree with you. I think they need to be turned loose more. And maybe they will be because there's some reason that this team is not able to score. But it's a curse that we're seeing all over hockey in terms of goal scoring. And it's sort of a curse that we also notice in baseball. Why is it that Trout, who becomes the MVP in all of baseball, has a batting average of .315? I mean, that's an exceptional batting average now. And, you know, a guy that hits .250 is okay. I mean, he's normal. It doesn't strike me as that. But, well, you know, our standard now for goal scoring, at one time you were exceptional. if you got 40. Now you're decent if you get 20 or 25. Andrew Ladd here with the Islanders had 25 last year. He's only got 2 with the Islanders this year, and he's part of the reason why they're way down in the doldrums. But our standards become different because the defensive part of our game and goaltending has been so much better, and Detroit's has been, I think, really lights out this year too. And I think the pitching has been so much better. Now everybody throws 90, and at one time even Bob Gibson didn't consistently throw that.
Yeah, and guys don't care about striking out today in baseball, which is different
from
when we were kids.
It's not a badge of honor, but nobody gets too hangdog about it, do they?
I can remember Al Kaline saying he considered it an embarrassment if he struck out. So
I know. It is different. But you know what? You and I have talked about baseball and hockey. Isn't it fun?
Yes.
Okay, now we'll leave the rest of the day to football and basketball.
Well,
but that's my own bias.
That's fine with me because I have a similar bias. Hey, thanks a lot, Doc.
Always fun to talk to you, Dennis, and I appreciate so much the streaming of the Prowlers games.
Oh, by the way, the goalies got a 1-game suspension. I want to know
why did the goalies
get suspended for fighting? There were 3 other fights in that game, and nobody else got suspended.
I don't know. They want to stop that?
I don't know. But, yeah, the 2 goaltenders involved in the fight both got a 1-game suspension from the league.
Well, I know the movie is 40 years old, but maybe they're vying to see who the toughest team in the Federal League is.
Rematch Friday night. You won't want to miss it.
Take care, Dennis. Thank you.
Thanks, Doc. All right, Mike Emmerich joining us from out in Brooklyn, where he'll be doing the Islanders game later tonight for the NBC Sports Network. We've got an NBC Sports update coming up for you next. We did some stuff on the stream last night, some girls basketball. We'll run down all the scores when we come back here on the Dennis Stuckey Show.